You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
That's right, Real Ass fans. We got another Real Ass Podcast coming at you from Stand Up New York Labs, Upper West Side, upstairs from my favorite comedy club, Stand Up New York. We got a really good show today. I'm going to tell you right now, man, I'm pumped to be fucking back up here with my co-host today. He was on the last show, and he did a great job on it. I thought we had a great conversation, so I asked him to co-host today's show, John Fatigate from Stand Up New York Labs.
What's up, Luis? Thanks for having me back, man.
Dude, of course, man. You're fucking great. I love what you do up here. It can't be any more complimentary and dick-sucky of you. You're a great dude, and very handsome, might I add. I'm glad to have you on the show, but our guest today, I'm going to tell you right now, our guest is a big fucking deal. I've been friends with this guy a very long time. He picked a song. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say the name of the song. I don't know if I'm brown enough, but yeah, I'm gonna try it. Hot Nigga?
Yeah, that's it.
Hot Nigga by Bobby Shmurda.
Shmurda.
So wait, let me get your music rolling, Dante. Dante Nero, comedian, actor, podcaster, and just all around badass motherfucker, real ass dude in his own right. Let's listen to some Shmurda right now. I've never heard Shmurda, so.
Jello beats, holla at me.
And Chewy on some hot nigga. Like I talk to Shicey, I see when I shot niggas. Like you seen him twirl, then he drops, nigga. And we keep the mind millies on my block, nigga. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop niggas. And we be wildin', he some hot niggas.
I just know that part.
It's a butt drop,
niggas. Try to run down and you could catch a shot, nigga. Running through these checks till I pass out. And shorty give me neck till I pass out. I swear to God, all I do is crash out.
This music sounds
dangerous.
Get him
up my trap house.
I'll tell you, man, all the hip hop that I've been listening to lately has been white hip hop. White.
Yeah.
A little bit of
This is straight Brooklyn.
I like, what's his name? Macklemore? That's my my new boy.
He's pretty white.
Ziggy Azalea.
Yeah, it's Izzy.
Whatever it is. Yeah. She's got fat ass.
Macklemore does ass. Really sick music videos though.
Yeah.
They're like really well produced.
Yeah, this is real Brooklyn.
This guy's not white.
Nah, not at all.
He's
a Brooklyn Crip. He's getting ready to do 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude.
He got a body. So it's he got one hot song, and then he's done.
Isn't it funny, though? Like, his career won't even be over. Like, he could still...
No, he'll be doing it from the phone.
Dude, let's say the charges didn't even, like, go through. Let's say somehow there was a loophole and he got off of it, right? He would just go on to have a career.
Absolutely.
In hip-hop, they give them so much flexibility to talk about rape, sex, murder, whatever. A comic... Sam Morrell goes on
and does a
no-name comic. Sam Morrell had 1,400 Twitter followers at that time. Does a rape joke, and the entire fucking blogosphere of homo, female, fucking feminist bloggers attacks him. Motherfucker, go after Eminem. I was listening to Eminem the other day.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. All, like, every song is about raping his own mother.
And faggots.
Faggots.
He drops faggot.
And it's not
F-bomb.
A joke at all, either.
No,
he's being for real.
Yeah.
It's not even trying to be funny.
No.
But they won't attack. It's such a fucking weak bully mentality that these bloggers have.
Yeah.
It really is. But why did you choose Hot Nigga by Bobby Shmurda?
Right now, I'm so not feeling a lot of the hip-hop. Like, lyrically, it's not hard enough. The beats ain't hard enough. Like, I came up with Redman and Rakim, and I'm just happy. There's a couple of young dudes that are doing some things, like ASAP Rocky and Troy Avenue, which is all Brooklyn dudes. Trying to bring back that lyrical thing where you look like this old stuff of, like, you can. There's a clip on YouTube of Biggie when he's 17. Like a chubby Biggie, 17, just ripping this kid.
Freestyle?
Yeah, freestyle. It's a picture of him like chubby with a shirt on, and he's ripping this kid. But lyrically, it's nuts. He's like 16, 17 years old, right on Fulton Street in St. James. right in my hood.
Yeah, this is right here. This
yeah.
is it.
You got he's crushing this kid. The kid that walks by is the guy he's battling.
Black is so much fun, man. Like, how much more fun is it to be those guys right there in that group and just fucking just having
just
fun,
ripping,
dude.
Just
in the street, in they're the drinking street, 40s. It doesn't even matter.
Dude, do you, I don't know if you ever seen the Biggie movie. You ever seen Notorious, the Biggie movie?
Yeah, dude. Great
well,
movie.
Well, there's a thing when his mom is going through the through Fulton Street in Brooklyn, right. And they put Juicy on. And everybody's crying as more, and they put Juice. Somebody pumps Juicy,
damn.
And the whole.
That's a real scene, though. They,
yes,
that's, there's video
I know,
of that.
I know people
yeah,
that are in that video, and the whole.
Because they went from the, they had the, I believe in the movie, they had like, they reimagined
yes,
it, they filmed it, and then they cut to
and they
the
cut
actual
to the real,
vintage
and the,
footage.
And people were on top of the cars like, I was like, ugh.
It's, dude, I'll tell you, man.
I took off, I left school, come back. For the funeral.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where were you going to school?
I was in SUNY New Paltz.
Okay, so you were upstate, dude. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then you, so you when you were, did hip hop? Because I don't really know, because, dude, it didn't, music meant something to me, dude. But it wasn't, first of all, with metal. I was like a metal kid. And it was. It was my life. I was in a band. But it didn't fucking, it, metal music and pop music, they don't live within a culture. You can dress up like you're into metal,
yeah.
But hip hop, it's kind of about.
Well, here's what the difference was, and this is metal was rebellious against the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
That was rebelling again, but hip hop assimilated through the establishment and basically took the establishment over. Literally, stuff like Pastor Cavassier, Ciroc, these. Marketers, I mean, Puff Daddy, Jay-Z, they say a product in their rhyme, and the product goes off the shelves.
Right.
Literally. So they've learned the business of marketing, and the music has assimilated through the system as opposed to it being rebellious of the system.
Right.
Like for instance, I was I had an argument about somebody like. Christmas and Kwanzaa and whatever. And I am as a black man, my father's born 1920. My father had me really late. So he's born 1920. And he fought.
It was an easier time for the black man.
But they fought to go to war side by side by whites.
Right. So funny.
Because
that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was, they felt if they had done that, then when they came back, they would be considered citizens.
Right.
And my sisters, I have older sisters. I have a sister that's 65. She was like the Angela Davis Black Panther era where it was about not assimilating.
Right.
Right. And that's when Kwanzaa came about, like the whole idea of Kwanzaa. We need our own holiday. But you, as you get older, you learn the differences. Everything American is African American. Like black people have been here since before this country was independent. So blacks and whites and anybody else who was here is the foundation of any American history. So American history is not white American history. It is American history, and anybody who is American is a part of that. So even the holidays like Christmas and hot Thanksgiving and stuff like that, I mean, the blacks had runaway slaves that went and mixed with the Indians. With the Native Americans, and at the time during Thanksgiving, so even the aspects of every aspect of American history is African American history as much as it is African history, as much as it is white American history. It's all the same. So there's no need to dissimulate when it's yours.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially culturally,
yes.
Like music and shit like especially.
So I remember watching eating Fruity Pebbles. And Flint, the Flint.
Is that a stripper?
Well, yeah, I know. I did eat a girl named Fruity Pebbles. But Fruity Pebbles, the cereal, and Barney and Fred was dressed in, like, Run DMC with gold chains and black hats and Adidas. And so you the assimilation of hip-hop through the culture is what has been happening. So you can't even, like, right now, Beyonce is the Marilyn Monroe of our fucking country right now.
Yeah. It's weird though that there's been like this undercurrent of racism in America for so long, but at the same time, like this love of the culture.
Sure.
What is that? What?
I think you still, the racism still exists. I mean, you still got black dudes are getting shot by cops and stuff like that, and it's becoming even, you know, very. I don't think it's happening anymore. I just think that media. Cell phones and stuff.
I think Dante, that you bring up that point. I think that's really what it is. Here's the thing, dude. There was a time, probably, you could have asked me in 1999, right? You would have been like, hey, dude, what do you think about racism in America? And I came from a pretty racist neighborhood, racist household. I would have said it is a really small thing that's going away. Because the way we were kind of being taught in school, it's like everyone, we are all one. Like, you know, you would.
Yeah, you that would was think
the,
it would. It
that
would,
was in the era of the community college poster with every race on it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, this is where we're going. Sure, this is what's right. Sure. And I was like, you know what? This is kind of is my world now. Even though I've seen some racism. I know these are older people. We're moving away from that.
Right.
And then YouTube hit and anonymous comments hit.
The anonymity
Twitter
of
hit.
It. Yeah.
The you know, we call these people keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
And not having to
call them broadband bullies.
Yeah, exactly. Not having to put your balls on the table and saying, hey, this is the way I fucking feel, motherfucker.
Fuck you. Let's
but
do
then
it
all came out and I said, oh, wait a minute. Racism is a very, very real thing.
Yeah, but I think that's almost like a product of us making this such a huge deal out of racism and like racial issues being such a big deal that when these people now can be anonymous, they want to like attack each other. They want to go for like what is the worst possible thing you can
right,
go
look,
for.
Also,
and we're all saying like racism. Racism is the worst thing in the world.
Dude, there's also, and I don't mean to cut you off, but there's also trolls out there who don't even really believe it, who just go, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck all the Jews and the niggers. And then they want to see it's almost like taking a grenade, throwing it into a room and walking out and just watching what happens.
Sure.
So I'm sure there's a lot of that as well, but there's a real, what you'll see is the response to that is fucking black dudes will be like, yo, fuck you, white devil. Next time I see you, you know, it's back and forth, and it goes both
ways.
But
here's the thing, though. Nobody is going, there's no Holocaust. I mean, it is happening, but that's not, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, look, dude, if you're saying that, then you're an idiot.
What?
You know what I'm saying? Because it's historical. But what I say about the whole racial thing in any way is if you're racist at this point in time in your life, you're an idiot. Like, there's scientific proof that the color of your skin doesn't make you dumber or any of those things.
But I mean, what do you mean? But here's the thing. I don't know if racist people necessarily believe that. Or not. I know there's a sect of racist people that believe that, you know, certain people are racially inferior to them. Like, they believe that black people are dumber than white people. But I don't, there's also racism out there that they just say, no, I don't fucking like him because he's different than me. And it goes in every area of life.
Yeah, but even to say that is absurd.
But it's not. No, it is absurd. But I'm just saying, I don't know if it's as simple as, like, looking at the science about us being equal. Sometimes, and it's a very real thing. I've told this story on a couple podcasts before, but when I was in kindergarten, I remember this, in our class, and this is, you know, 1986, something like that.
Sure.
They let us kind of sit where we sat. Like, there was no assigned seating in my kindergarten class.
Right.
And now they assign seats, and I realized why. Because what happened was, naturally, all of these kids racially segregated. Mm-hmm. All the black kids sat at one table, all the white kids sat at one table, and all the Hispanic kids sat at a table. And I sat with the white kids because I had identity issues.
Yeah, but you don't really have that issue now.
No, I don't have that issue now, but
no,
I did.
No, I'm saying
kids, right.
Today,
well, no,
they don't give a fuck.
They do, though. Did you see that one thing, dude? You see that one? They had it was so sad, man. They even had fucking, they even had black kids. They had little black kids. They had two dolls, and they had a black doll and a white doll. And they had the little black kids going, which doll is more beautiful? And all the little black kids were saying the white doll. And it was this sad fucking weird thing.
But here's what happens.
I'm just saying they see
Here's what happens. But that's because That's because that kind of inferiority is taught. But what's happening, what I see is happening now, is there's a fusion of the culture. So you have black kids are riding skateboards and listening to metal.
Oh, 100%.
And white kids are wearing do-rags and listening to hip-hop. And so they don't give a fuck, dude. More often than not, I see a bunch of kids. There's be a Mexican kid, a Puerto Rican kid, a black kid, a white kid, some Indian kid. They're all hanging out in skinny jeans, skateboards, and backpacks, and sneakers, and they're doing what they just don't give a fuck. So racists are dying. That's the way it's gonna happen. They're just gonna die off, and nobody gives a fuck.
And I agree with you. And I thought it was happening at a faster rate than it really was.
No. I mean, because you're talking about generations, but you're talking about the generations dying off.
Yeah.
Like my dad's generation was. We need to fight next to white people in World War II so that we can be recognized. Whereas my attitude towards the validation of white folks, I don't give a fuck what you think. I'm way better than you. Not as a race, but as a person.
Just
like
a dude.
Like now, if it means I gotta get a movie or something, yeah, I want you to love me because I need that validation. But we dudes are not looking for that validation anymore. And that's kind of the difference. And those my generations of kids are growing up without that need for that validation.
Did you mentioned before just about you see young black kids like skateboarding into metal?
Yeah.
Did you see this band Unlocking the Truth?
No.
I met them at Sirius a few weeks ago. They just got a multi-million-dollar deal from some. They're 12 years old. These kids, little black kids, and they play metal. They had a couple TV spots. They were on Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell. Check this out, though. It's pretty fucking.
Oh wow. Wow, they're young.
Little fucking emo nerdy black kids.
With black nail polish. This is great, but they should kill Kamau Bell.
This fucking Severus head.
Yo, they are fucking shredding.
Yeah.
It is funny to see black people co-opting white culture, though, for once. So.
And you know it's kind of funny that you see the white faces.
If you want to call it, which you got Hendrix. I mean, that's Hendrix culture. You know,
the white faces in the audience, they don't even know what to do here.
But there was a group like this before. Was
Living
Color.
I did last year. I was on Shipwrecked with them. I performed with them. I hung out with those guys.
Yeah. They were out of Brooklyn.
Seven Dust.
Yes. That was actually really good shit. Too,
they were
man.
All on Shipwrecked as well. I hung out with all those guys.
But it was like a black lead singer, and the rest of the guys were white in Seven Dust, right? But that dude was awesome. He was like an R&B singer first,
but
I think.
What you call is black? Slash.
Well, he's half black, half Jewish, I think.
Yeah, he's a black dude.
Yeah, you know.
But he talked about, you know, a lot of people came at him because Guns N' Roses had some racist lyrics in some of the songs, and they were like, how you feel? And he was like, look, I didn't write the song. It is what, you know, but you kind of live that, you know.
Look, here's the thing. And I'll tell you the truth, man. I have friends. You know, dude, we all got fun. We're comics. You know certain comics out there. We won't name names. They got some fucking racist tendencies. They say some shit.
We talking about Dustin?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. All right. There's a lot of them out there, right? So, you know, here's the thing, dude. I'm not... Being racist to the point where you're hateful, to where you actually go out and you do hateful things towards other people, to me, that's, I could never be friends with somebody like that. But somebody who's just a little fucking bigoted and they make racist jokes, or maybe they just see the world and they see black and white and they don't pretend that they don't see color, that isn't something that's going to fucking make or break you as a person to me. I have family members that are like that.
But here's the thing. You're going to find people that do that, they're probably not really good people anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
They're just not really good people anyway. I mean, there is a, like, what I, just, you know, it's, like, I have a, I consider myself agnostic. If not agnostic, I'm atheist. I mean, for lack of a better word.
Right.
If you believe that a Noah put two animals on the fucking ark, you're a fucking idiot. Like, it's not you're a good Christian, you're an idiot. There's an that is a scientific impossibility. If you believe whatever you believe because you've been brought up that way, and when you, you know, one thing I always say is when you know better, you're expected to do better. And if you don't, then you're a piece of shit.
Well, this is kind of funny you bring that up because it's the ignoring of logic. I was talking to Beatrice about this earlier on today, and I think that that's just in general. Women, just in general, they ignore logic.
Women
are like that. Is an example.
On my podcast, we say women's logic is false logic because it's based on their emotional state at the time when they're plugging it in.
But that's all they do. They go, no, Noah brought two animals on the ark. That's that. Sorry. You're like, no, really. Let me break down some fucking logic here for you. But that is like feminist.
That's a good point, though, Dante. That's why, like, Spock was the most logical person in the world because he could take all emotion and just get rid of it. There was no emotion at all, just pure logic.
Exactly.
But and it's like in anybody, and look, I think people who are way into politics, they do the same thing.
Sure.
They stand behind an agenda,
right.
And then they go, I'm going to work backwards from this point or this agenda,
sure.
And I don't care anything else that comes into it. I'm just going to keep on figuring out how to get that agenda or point across.
Yeah.
And I'm not an agenda-driven person.
Right.
I will walk in, I will look at anything. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm not anything. If I'm going to fight, I don't vote because I don't pay enough attention to the facts to go in. First of all, my vote doesn't mean shit anyway. It is one of a fucking, you know, in New York, you know, if you understand the way the system works as it is, our votes in New York don't actually fucking count. But even if they did, I don't keep myself educated enough on politics to really throw my hat into the mix. You know what I'm saying? But either way, the point is, I think women in general, they kind of, it's always about how could I have this point, I have this point of view, now how can I prove it no matter what comes
out? I think you're giving them more credit than, they don't even think they need to prove it. They just think because I feel this way, it is.
Yeah,
it is,
but
so.
Men, we could be just as, we could do that too. Like I, for instance, will get super mad about stuff and I lose all sense of logic.
Yeah, but
I'll get so angry, I'll lose all sense.
I don't think you have any idea when a woman loses all sense of logic what that means. What it means is she's mad at you because she had a dream about you fucking somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a guy wakes up and goes, bitch, you fucked somebody in my dream. I'm mad at you. It's just, there's an absurdity to that you just, I don't care how emotional you get. Somebody, I could say, Johnny, it's a dream. And you're like, yeah, I know, it's just, it feels weird. And you'd go, but you wouldn't go, well, I feel this way. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I need to deal with it in this fashion. So,
all right, point taken.
John, you know. do you have you ever listened to Dante's show?
Yeah.
All right, so you know what Dante's fucking deal is, right?
And
you,
I've watched him when he first did it with Patrice on Black Phillip.
I love it, dude. I did some research.
And Dante's stuff a while
here's
back.
The thing: if the Realize fans don't know or the Gomites don't know, Dante has been around the fucking block for a long time, and him and Patrice O'Neill, the late great Patrice O'Neill, in my opinion, the best comedian of all time
ever.
They used to,
I said this, that they don't even compare Patrice to Pryor. I don't know if you've ever noticed
what
that.
Do you mean?
Like, he was such an amazing comic that they don't even make a comparison to Pryor. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Like, his excellence in comedy and creativity and truth is so amazing that they don't, that it stands alone.
Stands alone, right. He's not.
Without a comparison to anybody else.
Right, they're not talking about a lineage of Cosby to Pryor Eddie Murphy. To
exactly.
You know, it's just Patrice.
It is Patrice.
And Patrice was more than just a comic. He was a philosopher. And a lot of what Patrice did, you know, a lot of that concept lives on through you and kind of what you do with the Beige Phillips.
That's why we were friends, is because that's how I was as an individual. And when we met, that was the thing that was the motivating factor of our friendship. Somebody had told me about Patrice before I had met him. I'd been doing comedy about a year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, wow, you're really funny. You should meet this guy, Patrice. And I was, you know, I was a cocky fuck. I was like, he needs to meet me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met him and he was really cool. And we kind of hit it off. It was weird how we hit it off. And we exchanged numbers, and I called him up, and I said, you know what's funny? I go, No, I said, who is this Patrice character to this girl that told me about him? He goes, he is a guy who's very, very funny, but he's his heart pumps an oily substance, not unlike like sludge, that he's a horrible person. And but you should never be friends with him. That's what this girl said to me.
At what stage of his career was he in when you met him?
It's about he was still doing bits. Yeah. Like he was doing Pepsi Cola Race, but he was about 10 years in. So I met him and we exchanged numbers and I called him up because I always used to, when I was a young comic, I would always call, you know, comics and pick their brains and stuff like that. And we were talking and kicking it about what my life was, his life. And I was like, you know, it's funny is before I even met you, people told me not to fuck with you because you're an asshole and you're a jerk. And he laughed. He's like, ha, ha, ha. He laughed, hung up the phone. We hung up the phone. And then he called me back and he goes, look, let me ask you something. If they told you not to fuck with me, why'd you call me? And I go, because I don't really give a fuck what anybody else is thinking, and you don't scare me. Like, I'm not afraid of you in any sense, in on any degree. And he was like, all right, cool. And that was the beginning of the friendship, that statement right there. So he was, so a lot of times, if you know Patrice, he talked to people, and it always became a lecture right. as opposed to a conversation because he just was so... I was the guy he bounced stuff off. We yeah. used to bounce.
I remember when he introduced you on that first episode of Black Phillip, he said that you guys kind of like had developed all this philosophy together.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of dudes.
Which episode was the first one you were on with him?
Black. I was on everyone.
You were on everyone.
He called me up and was like, yo, they want us to do this thing. Do you want, we want to just do it like we kick it on the phone. And I was like, okay. You know, and I knew to stay in my lane. But I pimped for 7 years.
Yeah.
And so I was already taking pimp philosophy, you know, actually getting money out of bitches' ass on a track and applying it to square relationships because the principles are the same. It's one of the things that I always say is that true wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how it relates to situations that seem irrelevant but really are not. So once you've mastered anything, there are divine, universal, cosmic, and universal principles that you can take from that mastery of any task, and then you can apply it to other tasks right. that seem totally different.
It's like in sales. It's, you know, genuinely like to think of myself as a master at sales.
Sure.
And I apply those systems and just it being a game of numbers, right. not, you know, understanding that the word no is just universally part of a bigger picture is part of yes. You can't, sure. let's say, you know, even selling a TV show, let's say your ratio is you can only sell 1 out of 100 scripts. You need to get 99 no's in order to get that yes. So right. every time you get a no, you're not so getting upset.
Game. Yeah, yeah.
You're going, oh, you embrace it. That's 100% part of the equation. It is impossible to get the sale without the no. So
statistically it is.
Yeah, yes, yeah, it's just that's yeah. the name of the game. So you don't that like those principles in life I've always applied.
Even things like physics. Like I used to say physics applies to physics applies to everything as well. It's like if you think of the concept of inertia, things in motion tend to stay in motion, things at rest tend to stay at rest. Yeah. Now if you have an argument with your girl, you have an argument with your girl, the minute you realize that you were wrong about something, you apologize. Once you apologize, it's done.
Right.
Now, if she batters you because of the fact that you apologize, you've apologized. Now she's the asshole.
Right.
But when you, the longer you try to justify, once you know that you, once you know that you're wrong, and you try to prove the fact that you're trying to hide or try not to own up to the fact that you're right, you settle that not apology. The not apology settles into the dirt. And every time that you justify what you already know is wrong, settles that not apology in the dirt deeper.
So you're saying don't apologize.
No, I'm saying it apologize as if it's as easy as while the conversation is moving. You know what I'm saying? So right. I realize it's wrong. I'm like, oh, man, I apologize. I didn't mean that. But once you don't apologize, now that for you to ever go to the point where you do apologize after is monumental. Because you've resisted the apology for so long. It's just like in sales, you get people to say, you ask them questions and say yes, yes, yes. You nod your head, they yes. And then so when you ask for the yes, it's yes. But if you're asking them questions, it's no, no, no. To get them to say yes is much much more difficult.
Yeah, it's called closed-ended questions. You want to ask some closed-ended yes questions. You get them in the positive mind frame. It's there's a million little sales techniques just like that.
But it applies to physics in terms of inertia. Like if you stick a boulder in a rock, the longer it sits there, the deeper it sinks in, the harder it is to move.
Right.
But you drop a boulder off of a, and you can move it as it's bouncing because it's moving. It's the same concept. But it's
having. Well, you know, I apply that just in my career in general. It's like once one thing happens, another thing happens, happens. It's inertia, you know.
But everything that you learn in life can be applied to those two different things.
Right. I agree. No, I completely agree with that. No, I want to let's get some practical shit here. John, you're in a new relationship.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You love this chick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but there's got to be some problems.
Not yet. I mean, we're only like 6 months in.
She's been fucking Dante for 3 months. This is why we brought him on here. I wanted to let you know that.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't know.
We got some problems.
She really enjoys it. And it's in the butt because she doesn't want you to notice.
I thought that was just a dream I had that I was pissed over.
His giant cock. It wasn't his giant hair.
He was mad about that dream for real.
So there's no problems in this relationship.
No, it's great. I mean, but we're still new. We're 6 months in.
That's a problem in its own right.
How new is it?
6 months in.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that guys don't really understand. First of all, John doesn't have a lot of time. He's a busy dude.
Mm-hmm.
He has cancer.
So his 6 months,
he's done.
His 6 months might be a week and a half.
That's a good point, Dante.
That's the first thing. Second thing is, a woman only finds a man attractive that she thinks if he's better than her.
Yeah.
So John has a lot of things going on. Like, what does your girl do?
She hires people at American. She's like a headhunter at American Express.
Yes, she's just some awful cubicle shit, whether or not it's important or not. But compared to your life, the people that you're around celebrities and
you're
people
living
on TV,
your dream, and her life stinks.
Exactly.
She's in the other room, so hopefully
she'll get over it.
She knows that she wants to kill. If it wasn't for you, you're keeping her alive, basically, right?
I don't know, maybe.
And, but I mean, but it's your positivity about what you do and the fact that you're following your dream is what makes you attractive.
I don't want to sound, I think you're right. I don't want to sound like full of myself. But yeah, I think that's attractive.
Listen,
to her. Yeah.
There's a sexiness to the lifestyle that you lead. You work in the entertainment industry. Uh-huh. You work with these fucking awesome fucking people in this place. You have this, you built this place from the ground up. You know, it's like, it's a pretty,
it's awesome.
Incredible fucking thing that you're doing. But by the way, it's so funny because I deal with the same shit. This is the reason that I was able to hook her.
It's the same reason why she hates you.
It's the same reason why she fucking hates my guts right now. Because there's no stability. There's not enough money coming in. I'm fucking all over the place. I do 5 podcasts a week and none of them make me money. Blah, 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 blah. But it's like, look, that's why you were into me, because I'm an artist and because I create and because I have this drive. Okay. So it's like, it's
that's interesting, yeah. Is that what you're going to get at?
That's what's going to happen eventually with you.
Well, this is the Bayes-Phillip rule, is that what you do never gets in the way of the relationship. It is intricately what she found attractive about you in the first place. Now, if you change that, she will not find you attractive. A woman falls in love with you for everything that you are. She spends the rest of the relationship trying to change you into everything that you're not. If she succeeds, she will dump you for a guy who is what you were when she met you.
Jesus Christ, man. That is insane.
And it's a cycle, and it will always continue to happen. But
I'm always amazed
can
by
I be
how
honest with you?
Fucking pointed Dante.
The only reason why
shit.
Here's the thing. Dante's a lunatic, and I love it. I love it. I love it. At the end of the day, okay, this is what I've noticed. He's right. It will always go to shit. So I think the point is, treat her like a bitch from day one.
Exactly.
Because it's going to go where you're going to be the bitch if you don't. At the end of it, the end result of it is
you're
always going to
be the bitch.
You were
going to say something about what I said, that statement I just said. You were going to say something.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
What I said about the point is, your attractiveness is what you are. Don't let them change that.
I think I do know what I was going to say. I think I know now, because the relationship that ended for me last year, it kind of actually worked out that exact same way. This here is what ended up ruining it for me, was the lifestyle that I was living here at Stand Up New York.
Why do you think she originally started liking you?
Because of your lifestyle here.
But we met though before I started this company. But it was that I was like
an artist. You were trying to start your own company. You were driven. You were motivated.
All that
she was
shit.
Like, I want to be that. This is what my chick would be still working the same bullshit job she had when I met her that she hated because it was comfortable. But it's fucking that. That's it. She looks at it, she was like, I want to have that type of motivation. But once they step into this world and realize that it's not sexy.
Well, here's the thing. A woman doesn't want to win. She just wants a winner. That's the thing.
Okay, so how do you, what is the answer then? If that's the case, and I could see that actually how that plays out, man. I've never really thought about this shit as much as you have. But I think you're right about that,
sure,
man. That's a really good point.
I'm definitely right. It happens to everybody.
So then what is the workaround? How do you succeed
there
then?
There is no workaround. Here's what the workaround. A woman will not leave if you're better than her. She leaves. Your chick leaves. Here's when the chick left. And I already know what happened. You started to compromise what you were doing in the context of how you saw this, your own company, and what you're doing now. And when you started compromising it is when she lost respect for you.
Well, look, that relationship, actually, I ended up ending it, but things went wrong in a different kind of a context, but it all had to do with the reasons that she did fall in love with me in the first place, though.
Yeah, well, they're going to bitch it. See,
it wasn't like she lost respect for me. It was just that all the things that she fell in love with me for ended up just ruining the relationship in the end.
That's not true. Here's what happens. When you say, first of all, she didn't leave you.
No.
So she wouldn't have left you. She would bitch about everything forever, but she will not leave you. Do you know why she won't leave you? Because you're better than her. See, a woman only leaves you when she starts to feel that she's better than you. So it sort of happened, like Giannis is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Giannis was the dude, and he hooked up with Jessamay. Jessamay didn't have anything, and he was bringing her up. The minute she started getting some heat, it wasn't even the fact that she got heat, is that he was emotionally affected by her heat, that she had so much going on, that he started being a bitch and started whining and, you know, where you at? Where you at? I want to come pick you up. And the minute that he became this guy who was sensitive and emotional and stuff, she lost respect for him, and that's when the relationship goes to shit. A woman,
which,
won't...
by the way, also, can I say this though? Sure. And I do believe this. Look, the truth of the matter is, sometimes relationships should go to shit. You know, it's like it's very easy to sit here and dissect why did my last relationship before the one with Beatrice go to shit. That relationship should have been fucking shot in the head a year before it was. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of this is how much is she or he going to push and
how
pull
much
with
am
your
I willing
philosophy?
To put up with? Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's like, how much of your philosophy in life am I going to be willing to compromise and come to? And the truth of the matter is, you need the only thing I really agree with at the end of the day. I do think that men need to be submissive in order to make a relationship work. They need to be submissive.
No.
I'm not saying it's the right way.
Okay.
That's the negative side of it.
Okay.
You need to be extremely submissive and let her be the person who wears the pants, or you need to do it. There's no in between. You know
if
what I'm saying?
You
and
let her
in order
do
to be,
it,
in order for
thing.
You to be happy, you need to be that guy.
If you let her do it, she will destroy the relationship. As a man, it's your job to protect yourself from her, protect herself from her, and to protect the relationship from her. She will scorch the earth and fuck everything up if you let her. So it's your job to, you have to be captain of the ship. You have to decide what she needs, not what she wants, and you have to do it in the context of not, I mean, some women are much more aggressive, and so you don't need to be outright, you can't just outright say it. But you have to create these boundaries, and you have to run the show, because a woman, just like we said, a woman will be emotional about a situation and then illogical, And so she will fuck it up. So you could be on planet Mars and she's like, this is ridiculous. And she starts throwing plates in the spaceship and breaks a window. And now you're all dead because there's no oxygen.
Your eyes fucking pop out of your head. You fucking best plop. Your eyes
so
fucking pop
you
out.
Have to understand that her place is to be emotional. She's going to have those outbursts. And so you got to be strong enough to maintain that. I've dated crazy, crazy bitches. They can be managed just like a sane one. You just got to have a firmer hand.
I went to the fans because they actually very engaged, very excited. A lot of crossover appeal with the Real Ass Podcast and the Beige Phillips Show, which, by the way, guys, go check out the Beige Phillips Show now. Brand new to the Riotcast Network, the newest show.
Oh, yeah, congratulations, man. Thanks. Awesome.
Riotcast.com, Beige Phillips Show. Really one of the best podcasts on the internet.
I appreciate it, though, that you were fighting for me the whole time.
Of course, dude. I've always said, day one, the first time I went on your show, I was like, it's a great show. Even if you don't believe in your philosophy, it's great to listen to, and it's great to call him on a shit. Tweet at Dante or write him an email.
I'm about
that's
being
the best.
Wrong.
People will send me shitty comments on SoundCloud. They're like, "Yeah, you won't read this." I was like, "Motherfucker, are you crazy?" I love when people call me on my shit. It makes it more interesting.
Not only that, it makes me better.
Yeah, of course.
It makes me a better individual. If you can prove something that I'm saying is wrong, I'll submit to it. But it's just got to make sense. It can't be some horse shit.
Yeah.
5% of some horse shit you heard. 20% of what your bitch said and 30% of what you heard on Oprah. It can't be. There has to be a consistent, logical consistency to your point. And I'll submit.
I just wanted to get back really quick to the last point that you made. Just to get more clarity on it. So basically, what you're essentially saying is let's just take the male and female part and like that. Couldn't that be interchangeable, or is it like
no, cannot.
But there's basically a chaser and a chasee is what you're saying. And
yeah.
The chasee always has to be doing better than the chaser.
But here's the thing I disagree with Dante. And I think you can make a relationship work if you are completely willing to be submissive to the woman. I don't think it's possible
but
to be happy
here's
there.
What she won't be happy either. She's just going to be abusive. If you allow a woman to be abusive, she will be abusive.
But there are relationships that are working out there that are
immune of that.
Say again?
What makes men immune to that, to being abusive, though, you're saying?
They're not immune to it. That's the point. But the point is to be a credible dude so that just because you're in control that you're not abusive.
Okay.
See, I'm not advocating that a guy should be in control, because what happens is usually the dudes that have the swagger and got the game are usually the dudes who are abusive. What I'm saying is the advocate, in order to be a credible dude, you can't be abusive. So you want, your confidence comes from how awesome you are as a dude. But you can't be abusive and be awesome. You know what I'm saying? I'm 305 pounds. So I can be good to dudes and I don't have to be a douchebag because I'm not really worried about nobody fucking with me. If you really want to test me, it's not going to end up good.
Can I ask you a question though, Dante? Because you are such a fucking monster, and I'm terrified of you. A lot of people talk about me the way I talk about you. You know what I'm saying? I get that a lot because people, and I don't see myself as being like a big dude. I'm like, dude, I have like body dysmorphia. I'm still a fat kid at heart. I'm still that fucking kid who, you know, the white kids in my neighborhood were throwing rocks at me, and like I was afraid.
Right.
I still have that fear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like I don't see the world like I'm this tough fucking guy.
You still see yourself as the chubby.
Yeah, dude. I can fight. I know I've been in a fight, and I know logically what's going on, but I don't see myself. I'm not an alpha like that, physically like that. You know what I'm saying? If there's a smaller dude that steps to you, a fucking, like, let's say Fatigate sized.
Right.
He comes to you. And he's fucking, you can see in his eyes.
I'm 6'1", by the way.
A tiny little bitch. Tiny little
girly
man.
We're actually the same height.
You know, because I don't want to go extreme. I don't want to say Aaron size, because that's fucking, he's not even human, basically. He's a half man.
All right, fine. Stick with me.
So, but you're very big compared to John Fatigate.
Sure.
Does your mind go like, fuck, this guy might know something?
Because
that's where if there's a smaller dude, my mind immediately goes, fuck, this guy knows some shit, and that's why he's willing to fight me.
First of all, that's why they have weight classes. There's a reason why they have weight classes.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know shit.
Right.
I don't know martial arts. Like, I've trained here and there throughout the years. Yeah. I know more than John. Maybe.
That's not true. I'm a wrestler.
I'll fuck you up, dude.
Oh, I will eat you alive, dude. That is not true, man. I've dropped guys. I've been actually in a lot of fights.
I will let you pick three people that work at Stand Up New York, and I will fight you all at the same time. I have no fear of anybody.
I was a very good wrestler. I'll wrap you up really quick, dude.
Dude, you can wrap me up all you want. I'll put an arm bar on you. Your fucking arm will snap too.
You will not at all.
It's happening today on the Real House Podcast.
It's going around right now. Let's clear the table.
Yeah, but anytime it's like a smaller dude, I think he's going to fucking know his shit.
Yeah, dude,
know your shit, though. So here's the thing. In your mind, you're going like, well, no, I've been doing Muay Thai. I've been doing Kung Fu.
I'm doing Krav now. Yeah, I'm 48 years old. I'm training Krav.
How long have you been training martial arts?
Most of my life at different times, but I bounced around in different places. I did 2 years doing judo. I did bakwa. I did Shotokan. I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I did Jeet. I did Eagle Claw. I used to take Eagle Claw. It was crazy.
I don't even know what that is. That's how badass
you never
is.
Heard of
like
it.
Like five animal styles, like Kung Fu.
Oh, right. I got it.
I took
like
Eagle
monkey style,
Claw.
Fucking...
I did some Mantis.
I love
took
it,
Mantis for about 6 months. I used to just bounce around and then fight dudes in the street to see what worked. I was a young dude. I would just fight dudes. So if a dude would talk shit, like he would be talking shit, like just to talk shit, and I'd be like, oh, let's see if this shit works.
Dante's such a real ass dude. This is why I have him on the show. You should actually just host the show. I should leave. I shouldn't have the moniker real ass dude, Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
I fucking love Lewis so much.
You should be the black cobra real ass dude, Dante Nero.
I was really, black but I was, cobra. I grew up afraid. I was a scary dude.
Yeah.
And I just, what I realized, the problem with fear is this. The real fear is the moment before the fight and the moment when you think the fight is going to happen. The anticipation of that. So I was like 13 years old, and it was an evolution of my thinking. Well, that's the scary part. So when a guy would engage me, I wouldn't wait for that period of time to happen. I just jump on him.
And
I would
that also
start
gives
it.
You a huge advantage.
By the way, speaking of Giannis, I watched Giannis. Like, it was almost like a lesson in fighting that I learned from Giannis. You know what I'm saying?
Because
we were at a show, dude, and I won't get into the whole story, but long story, a guy started charging the stage, dude, with his fucking hands at his side, with his chin straight in the air. I watched Giannis Pappas without, there's no squaring up, there was no pushing, there was nothing like that. I watched Giannis Pappas jump off the stage and Superman punch this motherfucker in his grill before he got 3 feet close to him, dude. And I was like, yeah, that's the way you gotta do it. You gotta just, don't talk, you gotta just fucking
gotta be about
drill it.
Dude.
You'll
be about
and
that's
that life. That's a much different. And this is where you can tell Giannis was raised in Brooklyn, has been in the scraps.
Been in it.
He's been the dude that's popped shit before, and some other dude just drilled him without saying anything. And he learned that lesson. So if you guys are learning how to fight out there, don't talk shit. Just if you want to fight, throw. The dudes who don't want to fight are the guys that are popping shit.
Awful.
I do want to go to and answer some questions from the fans, and I want to talk a little bit more about your career. And being a fucking badass, because you do have a long storied career and fucking bouncing, and beyond just being a comic and actor and all this shit, you live the fucking life. But I wanted to get some of these fan questions because they had some issues with their girlfriends. So, whoa, it's a little loud. Over on Facebook, who the fuck said this? Okay. Manny Sanchez, original Real Ass fan, one of the first ones out there. He said, small world, just found out that Dante is frat brothers with my cousin's husband.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Q-Dog.
Lee/Easton?
Yeah. That's my LB. Like, we pledged together.
Yeah, I don't know.
He just had man, it's fucked up, though. He had a really bad situation. His daughter, I don't know if it's Lee Easton or Lee McDonald.
Lee Easton. This is what it says.
Oh, I know Lee. But I was thinking about another. Yeah, I know Lee. I know Lee well. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, question. How do you get your girl from lying about little dumb shit? Also, she gets an attitude when I tell her how I like things done in my house, quote unquote. How do I get her to drop the attitude? So, and I'll tell you a little bit, Manny. I know Manny. Manny owns his own place. He's worked very hard. Young Latino man.
Uh-huh.
You know, fucking worked really hard to buy his own place. Right. So it is, when he says my house, I mean,
it
he means it.
House.
Motherfucker
it
owns that shit. Yeah, I mean, I guess, Dante, you can answer this question.
Yeah, I had a chick that used to come in my house, and she would leave hair all over the place. Comb her hair, leave hair all the place. And I just told her, look, you're not allowed to. Don't comb your hair in my house. I mean, I know that sounds outrageous, but it's not. You see, if you were going to her home and she was doing things counterproductive in her home, she would let you know. If you don't close the shower curtain because you don't wipe the sink, they let you know, and they let you know with an extreme prejudice. The problem is what we as men don't understand what our value is. It's your home. Think about all the sacrifice that you've made to get that home and what you've done to do that. I've said this story on other podcasts. Took a girl out. I actually went to see a good friend of ours, Aaron Burke. I went to see his one-man show. Picked the girl up, got my car detailed, got my car shined, gassed it up, paid the insurance, picked her up, parked it on 42nd Street, $60 to park my truck because it's oversized and raised and ridiculous. She was hungry. We were early. We go to a diner. We're in the diner. She accused me of looking at a waitress's ass. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. If I did, the ass wasn't that hot because her ass is ridiculous.
Right.
She's eating the cheeseburger, arguing with me. I took the cheeseburger back. I go, listen, you're going to argue with me. I'm going to take this. And I slid it back, and I started eating her cheeseburger. And she goes, oh, is that how it is? I go, yeah, fuck yeah, that's how it is. I go, if you think I'm going to feed you while you berate me, I said, and if you keep yapping, we're going to get in the car, and I'm going to take you back home. We're not even going to go to the play. So I ate the cheeseburger. She was like, I said, fine, I'll order myself. I said, okay, waitress, she wants to order. I don't have any money. Exactly. Then shut the fuck up. You're winning. Being with a girl means you're losing. As a dude, it means that you will make sacrifices that you won't receive back. So if you want your towels folded, you want the toilet seat up, if you whatever the fuck, you should have it. Because you're going to lose anyway. I had spent $100 on the detailer. I had spent $40 on each ticket. It was $80 on the tickets. I spent $60.
You paid $80 for Aaron Berg?
Well, it was, I was supporting. You know, we were supporting. Well, actually, he gave me the tickets. But they were 40 a piece, right? I gassed up, detailed the car. It was $100 to put the car in, cast. The note is paid. I got dressed, picked her up. She was late when I picked her up. All of this, I'm in for $300-$400. I'm feeding you on top of that, and now you want to make my life miserable in the context of because I might have looked at you saw me look at somebody's ass. Shut the fuck up. You're winning.
What do you? Let me ask you, because she's saying she's lying about little stuff. I think there's a red flag right there, dude.
Absolutely.
If she's lying about little stuff. Okay, I think that there might be bigger issues there.
Here's what I said. One of the Beige Phillip rules is always be ready to take the L. Always be ready to take the L. Always be ready to walk away if you feel that you're uncomfortable about what's going on. Secondly, here's another Beige Phillip rule. If you feel a tingle in your nuts, chances are you're getting ready to get kicked in the balls. So when you take those little red flags about her lying and this and that and the other, it's this telling you something.
Yeah.
You're trying.
Because, by the way, women aren't like men. Because, look, I got caught lying a bunch, okay, but with a little shit with my chick.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, dude, it is I lie about little things like smoking pot or smoking cigarettes or things that she just, because I avoid the war.
Right.
And another thing, especially with like smoking weed and smoking cigarettes, because I've stopped smoking weed certain times and I've stopped smoking cigarettes. And what happened was the one time I'd gone back to smoking cigarettes, this is a few years ago, I haven't smoked a cigarette in years, but I went back to smoking cigarettes. And I'm so stupid, dude. I was bumming a cigarette from somebody on the street. I'm like walking down 14th Street. I was like, hey, buddy, can I bum a cigarette? He gives it to me. I light it up. I look down. Beatrice is sitting at a restaurant outside, at my feet. At my feet. So this is how I get caught. I don't get caught. I mean, she's watching it. It's unbelievable.
Right.
So, and the truth of the matter is, a part of me didn't want to start a fight, make it a thing. But the other part of me, I didn't want to admit that I was smoking again, because once I'm open about it, then I'm doing it all the time. Then I'm kind of like, so I feel like if I was hiding it from her, at least I'm kind of cutting it down.
But here's the difference. I think what you have to do. Your credibility and your manhood, protecting your credibility and your manhood is paramount. If you believe in your heart and soul that you shouldn't be smoking, then you have to have the willpower and the manhood to quit smoking. It can't be because You don't want your girl to catch you. It has to be, you know, you shouldn't smoke. So
of course.
And so when that becomes important enough to you, you will stop. When being chubby didn't work for you, you started losing weight.
Yeah.
So I think as credible men, we have to decide this is what needs to be done. I'm going to be a man and I'm going to make the sacrifice and I'm going to do something. Now,
GYBB, get your balls back.
If you fall off, there's nothing wrong with falling off as long as you get back on and you keep grinding. And you're never going to reach perfection. As you move closer to perfection, it moves further away from you. But you have to work at it because of your manhood, not because somebody's looking over your shoulder. That's the integrity.
Moving on to the next question. Walt Jenkins awesome. Wants to know, what are your thoughts on dating a coworker?
I think anything can be managed. You can date a coworker and still be managed, but you have to know, let's think about what are the ramifications if you really built to not be with her and be still working with her, or maybe falling in love with her, you break up with her, and now she's got some other dude picking her up. These are all these things that come into play. Now, you have to be honest. Again, this is about your manhood and your integrity. This is about you recognizing if you're built like that. I had a friend of mine. I was fucking this chick, and she ended up being kind of a loose. She was kind of a hoe. She was fucking a lot of different dudes. And one of my best friends, I stopped fucking her because she was just out there. And he started fucking her, but he really was nervous about fucking her because he knew that he figured he was crossing the line by fucking her. And I says, listen, I don't really care. He says, I really like her and this, that, and the other. I go, listen, the point is you can like her whatever you want to like her. But the point is you have to be okay with the fact that she was fucking me. Now, if this becomes something bigger, which it did, he ended up having a kid with her. They moved in together. And then he resented her for the rest of the relationship. He put her through hell because she fucked me.
This is funny. I had a guy. I had a guy that there was just this slutty bitch that came around. This chick named Liz, and she fucked me one day. Just randomly fucked.
Yeah.
She was just a slut. She wasn't even into me. We just ended up fucking.
Right.
And then she started dating this kid that was kind of in our crew.
Right.
And she lied to him and said we never fucked. Uh-huh. And I didn't care. She was basically embarrassed. She didn't want him to know.
Right.
They ended up fucking having kids together. They're like married, but it's like off of this lie that's like, and I know in his head.
He knows that.
He knows what the fuck happened. Yeah. You know, I didn't even tell him. Other friends told him. But it was before they were dating. She didn't like fuck me behind his back.
Dude, like, I had my wife, I was married for 8 years. My wife was into women when I met her. And when I met her, we used to do threesomes and all kinds of shit. And she did a threesome with this guy. And his girl, so that the girl could do a threesome with us, and it was just kind of wild. And I ended up marrying her, right? The woman that had the threesome, and the guy ended up being one of my best friends that she didn't even know. But I eliminated his friendship from my life because this was going to be the white woman that I married, and I knew I wasn't built to stare in this dude's face, knowing that he. My wife had blew him, and that was just honest. But I think you have to be honest about what you're built to do. If it doesn't matter to you, that's great.
Well, I think what we should take out of all of this is depends on how bullshit your job is. If you work at 7-Eleven, who gives a fuck? You can get a new job. But if you have a six-figure, you know, a year, huge salary job, and it's a real deal job, you might want to consider the fact that it's probably at one point you're going to have an ugly day at work with that chick. There's going to be an ugly day at work one day. And when you do break up, because it's going to happen, you know, I mean, the chances of that being the one kind of slim, especially if you're in a big city where people just date and date and date, you know, it might not be worth it. Risk versus reward. It's just some pussy.
If you're built like that, where you just can rock like that and just like, whatever, oh, you fucking somebody else, okay, then be that, but be honest with yourself. I was a dude that I could never swing. Because I don't mind a chick fucking another. I don't mind my chick fucking another chick.
You can't watch her fucking dude.
But I'm not fucking a woman. Yeah. And I'm not saying that dudes who do that is something wrong with. I'm just saying I'm not built for that. Right. So I hoard pussy. Like I'm selfish like that. So
yeah. I got two more questions, guys, and we're gonna wrap up with Dante. Dante, thanks so much for coming into the Real Ass Podcast.
Can I ask
today?
A quick question to Dante? Yeah, though? Go ahead. Goes back to the threesomes thing.
Yeah.
How do you think that if you're dating a girl and you really like her a lot and she wanted to have a threesome with another chick, Do you think that that is possibly something that could really fuck the relationship up, or you think it's something you should just go for?
Sure, it can. It could fuck it up. Yeah. I think, and this is what I talk about being like the credible dude.
So funny, because by the way, this is a question that we have coming up about getting a threesome. But anyway,
The thing you have to think about is like what I say is, you know, you say, well, you know, like you kept saying, the girl could be in charge or the guy can be. No, they can't be in charge. You have to be in charge. So you have to look at your chick and see. If you have to make this decision for her, even if she's like, yeah, I want to do it, you have to make the decision to see if she's built to do this. If she's 70-30 dude to chick, like she likes you, but she likes dabble with chicks, you probably could pull that off because it ain't going to be, you know, you could always just erase her and that would be the problem. But if she's 50-50 chick dude, that gets a little bit complicated because she's truly bisexual and the feelings get it. But the other thing is, I've found a lot of times anytime I've been in a threesome and I'm fucking the dog shit out of the other chick, if she's not into me fucking the dog shit out of somebody else, like if she's not turned on by that, then I have a problem. It's like, why did you fuck her so good? Mm. You know, so there's a multiple things.
Let me get to this question because I got to wrap up here, guys. I apologize. I don't mean to cut you off. George Landry wants to know: should you wife a chick who let you go ass to mouth within, say, the first 20 minutes of hanging out in an unfinished basement? Plus, her ass was bleeding when it was all said and done.
God,
then, when you don't want to kiss her after you nut in her mouth, she starts crying. Hypothetically.
Should you wife her?
Yeah, should you wife her up?
Can I answer this?
Yeah, you can give your answer. Here's the thing, man. If that makes your dick hard,
yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
If that whole scenario makes your dick hard, yeah, wife her up, dude. That's your chick. She's the one.
That's the one that's exactly.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
As long as that doesn't fuck with you.
That's the point. Which is what we're saying. It's know yourself.
Yeah.
Know what you can put up with. Know what turns you on. Know what doesn't turn you on. And know what you're willing to. Don't be, you know, we're talking about being a real ass dude. Part of being a real ass dude is knowing what your limitations are.
Yeah.
You gotta know if you can deal with that. It's like, if you know that this chick has fucked your boy, you can't rock, then don't have kids with her. The image of what just happened is so dirty and so filthy that you can't ever see her any other way than that. Then I mean, dude, I watched Two Girls, One Cup, and I was like, I see why that would turn somebody on. It's not my thing, but I wasn't gagging.
Of course, no. I completely, not that I was gagging, first of all, but I understand perversion. Yeah, I understand why people fuck in public and open the blinds for people to watch. Sure, I understand why people fucking, you know, guys eat their own cum and it turns them on. Like, I get the fucking weird shit. That weirdness... Exactly. I get. It doesn't turn me on to do some of these. You know, I eat my own cum, but...
but you do that without a sexual...
The perversion, I'm a perverted dude, and the extreme, no matter how extreme it goes, I get it.
Sure.
Last question from Maddie Jester Skulls. Forward my thanks. Dante, and then in parentheses, and Patrice's philosophies on relationships have sure helped me figure out some shit. Some people may want to know how to get a threesome down. I'm asking for a friend. So what would you, how could you tell Maddie Jester Skulls, what would you be your advice to convince his girlfriend to have a threesome?
Watch porn, see how she responds to women on women stuff. If she's a chick who finds women attractive, she'll probably be leading on to that, little hints. You'll hear like, ooh, she's got a really nice body, this, that, and the other. And then you can say, do you like girls? And you have that discussion with her. And it's sort of a building discussion that you have. Do you like girls? I mean, have you ever dated a girl? You ever kissed a girl? Would that turn you on? And, you know, you ask these kind of exploratory questions and see if she's pro-chick. I mean, if she's not pro-chick, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, and really, honestly, you don't really want to have a threesome that your chick is not pro-chick.
Let's say she is. Now, how do you take that from fantasy into reality?
You actually let her do it. You let her pick the girl. You don't pick the girl.
So what, you go out to some bar or something like that, you're hanging out, you wait for it to happen kind of organically, she likes a chick, or you like start asking her at the bar, what do you think about this?
Sure. Oh, you can also go to strip clubs, and that's another way to kind of cultivate that. Oh. You go to strip clubs and give my girl a
You're pushing
a lap
this
dance.
Incrementally, pretty much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You push it incrementally, and you see where she's at with it. And if she's in, you know, she get a couple of drinks in, and somebody's giving her a lap dance, and she's sucking on some chick's titty at the strip club, that's, you know, let's go to a strip club, us, you and me together. You do
okay,
it
and then now you want to take it even further. Now what's the next
so
step?
So the next step would be, would you ever think about, would you want to do that? You know, and don't be anxious. Don't be like, do you want to do it? Like, you can't.
That's exactly how I go.
Don't be desperate.
Let's do it now, bitch.
If you can't ever seem like it, you have to make her seem like it's her decision.
So you go out to a bar, you see this really hot chick. You say, what do you think about her? She likes her. So now what? You guys go up to her. She goes up and talks to her. What do you do? How do you get it to that level?
Can I
chime in really quick? Here's the thing, dude. I think that if you're into threesomes and you're into chicks that are into threesomes, okay,
you can find chicks.
You need to just kind of figure that out early. And you, as adult men now, okay,
yeah,
don't come back at 5 years into a relationship and go, and be like, oh, my prude ass bitch, I really want to get her into it. How do I do this now? It's like, let me tell you something, dude. That's something really that it's like. She's going to have to be into the idea.
Right.
If she is not into the idea.
She's not into the idea.
It's going to just hurt her.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to do, and it's going to fuck it up. So my advice is, the dudes that are listening out there that maybe aren't in serious relationships or maybe just 6 months into a relationship with a chick, talk about that shit early. Be open about what turns you on sexually. And do it early on, because if you start off with kind of like a relationship where you're hiding that part of yourself and you're not being open about what turns you on sexually, then later on when she fucking finds some weird porn on your computer with, you know, it's, oh, why is it always it's always young blonde girls, and I'm, you know, that's my, you know, my chick gets mad at me. She's like, oh, it's always like, you know, 20-year-old blonde girls. And I'm like, well, yeah, I have a 30-year-old tall
fucking
brunette.
A goat.
No, my chick's gorgeous, first of all. I mean, she's 5 foot fucking 10. She's fucking, you know,
woman. You don't watch porn
to have what you have.
You watch porn to have what you don't have.
Exactly. I got a little tattooed, you know, petite chick, or fucking a little Asian
little
shaved bitch.
Shaved head with tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, that's the, you know, my chick's pure. She's nothing like that. But I love that as well. I've dated chicks with tattoos. And then when I met my chick, I was like, oh my God, she's fucking tall and gorgeous. And she's like a model,
but
and she's no
exactly
tattoos.
But this is exactly the problem. This, her logic is like, oh, this is the porn you watch. This is what you want. No, bitch, I like watching a German Shepherd fucking chick every once in a while.
Having diversity in what you watch keeps it fresh and keeps you turned on, especially like porn. You know what I'm saying? That's sex, you don't want to. If your guy is mushing your head into your pillow every night and fucking you doggy style the same way every single night, his mind is not on you.
Yeah.
He's thinking about whatever. He's using you as a sock to jerk off to some other shit that's going on in his mind. If you're not doing different shit, because men need different shit, need to mix it up. I like, dude, me and my chick, when we have sex, I really try to like keep it as fucking spicy as possible. Do different shit.
And it's your job to
and
do that.
If your guy is not doing that,
he's
really not that into you.
Yeah,
I think that's a book, right?
That is. It's the truth. I think, but I think it's the guy. A lot of times, guys will have girls who they will do a lot of like sexy things in the front, on the front end, and on the back end, and not. A woman, I mean, I hate to put it like this, but a woman, they don't really have personalities. They have personality ranges. A woman is a reflection of the dude that she's fucking, and so. I've got girls eat my ass who didn't want a French kiss another dude. They're feeding off of your energy, and that's what's going on.
You have a
on.
Very sexy ass, though.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Look, we're going to wrap up here. Dante, what do you got? Anything coming up that you want to plug? Obviously, Bass Phillips Show.
Bass Phillips Show on Riotcast Network. That's, if you want to learn any of this shit, I teach it all. I cover
this
it all.
This is every
like,
week. This is Dante
every week.
Are you going to write a book eventually, you think?
Yeah, I'm actually putting the rules together and everything.
Yeah. It's amazing, dude.
All bitches are crazy and all that good shit. And I also, I got four episodes on Blacklist.
Hell yeah, dude.
Episode 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'm also coming back on Power on Starz Network. We're filming the second season of Power, so I'll be on that. I got a reoccurring on that. I got a movie coming out called A Beast So Fierce with Dylan Baker and Bailey Chase.
Nice. Blacklist. Nice, it's huge, dude. Yeah, NBC.
It's cool.
A big show, dude.
And they bring you back all the time. It just never ends.
Good for you, dude. Seriously, thanks. Dante Nero, one of my favorite people.
Love you too, man. I love you, dude. For real.
Johnny Fatigate, my
Johnny
friend.
Johnny Fats.
Yeah, check out all of our shows at standupnewyorklabs.com. StandupNYLabs.com.
Listen, this fucking podcast network, they're the shit, dude. They really cultivate some of the most talented people in the world and give us an opportunity to go out and create. We really appreciate what you guys do for us. So make sure you check out the other podcasts on the network, every single one of the other podcasts. Also, I'll be up at November 14th, Legion of Skanks Live at The Chance at Poughkeepsie. So check that out. Go to my podcast, my website, realsdude.com. Check me out on Twitter and my new Instagram, gomezcomedy.com. Peace.
That's all, folks.